Hi, I'm Bob Tabor with LearnVisualStudio.net. In the previous lesson, we thoroughly investigated the data.js file. We learned how the sample data was added and retrieved from a list of related groups and items, and how the data was bound to the list view control, at least at a high level. So in exercise two, let's get over there. So we're in lab one, exercise two, task number one, we're gonna import the Contoso cookbook data and the images into our project. So I'll go ahead and just perform these steps possibly out of order. It asks us, first of all, to create a data folder. So I'm going to right-click our project name and select Add New Folder, and we'll call it Data. And what I'm going to do is, you know, we could use the C:\Win8.js folder for the Windows 8 Camp in a Box. Remember, I have this WinAppDev_JS folder that I'm working with and that I provided for you in this series of lessons. So that's what I'm going to be working with. I'm going to go into the data subfolder and find the recipes.txt, and I'm merely going to drag and drop it into the folder. And so now recipes.txt has been added to our data folder. Awesome. And then the next part is pulling all the images over. So I'm going to go back out to the main folder, WinAppDev.js, and go to the images subfolder, and I'm going to select all of the subfolders there, Chinese, French, German, Indian, Italian, Mexican, as well as the tiles folder. And I'm going to make sure to get my target ready. All right, and so here I'm going to drag from the source into my target folder. And I'm going to let Visual Studio chew on that for a little bit, and it has imported all the images. All right, so that means task number one is complete. Even though we finished this task, I want to go back and pay particular attention to the note inside of the in the lab that asks us to take a look at the recipes.txt file. The note says that the file is encoded in JSON, J-S-O-N. What does that mean exactly? Well, JSON stands for JavaScript Object Notation. It's a very simple but flexible representation of objects and their properties in plain old ASCII text. In fact, what I want to do is open up Notepad, and I have a simplified version of this file here with just one recipe, I believe. Yeah. And I just want to do this so we can see the basic format and talk about some of the ways in which the data is represented. So hopefully you have some familiarity already with JSON objects, or at least JavaScript objects. You could watch a video from the JavaScript Fundamentals series about object literals. It's video number 12 in that series. You see the link right here on screen. But as we move back over to our simplified version of the recipe data, you can see that the main object is the recipe. It has a group property, and that group has an embedded object that represents the group that the recipe is associated with. It's a different way, again, of thinking about the container or the ownership of objects. We might think that groups own items, but in this application, it's kind of reverse. Items own groups. And so the important idea here, though, with regards to JSON is the format, that an object is denoted with curly braces. So we see that here. And the object is dynamic in so much that all it needs in order to support a property is merely to declare it. So here I have a background image property, and then I'm setting it to some value. So there's this colon that separates the property name from the value, and we separate the various key value or property value pairs with commas, and just for formatting's sake, we also separate them onto different lines. Now, if a property is going to hold something more complex, like an array, then we would simply do something like this. You can see on screen, my new property, colon, and then we use square brackets, so an open and close square bracket. And so if we go back here to the example JSON for our recipe, you can see that we have an array of image objects. So extra images would include this object, and this object. An array, a collection, I guess you could say, of extra images, all associated with this property, extra images. All right, if a property is going to hold a reference to an object, then we simply do something like this. My new property, colon, and then we use the object notation, which would be an open and close curly brace. And then inside of that, we would use a, you know, the key value pair separated with the colon again. And so we can see that with our group. Once again, here's our group property. We use the colon, and now we have an object. And that object has inside of it a series of key or property names and their associated values. So with that in mind, as we kind of take a look at how this is all represented, let's take a look at the actual recipes.txt file, and we can just scroll through it, and there are literally dozens of recipes, all right? And, you know, we could take the time and kind of parse all this out by hand and kind of get our head around it. But essentially, it's all the major properties that we are going to want to display or utilize somehow within our application. The main takeaway is that although there's a bunch of data in that file, it all follows the same basic format as our oversimplified example that I've called up here in Notepad. All right, there's just a lot more of it. Okay, so now that we have our recipes.txt included into our app, now we need to load all that data from recipes.txt into our app. So if we take a look at task number 2, let's go ahead and open it up here. It tells us that we should open up the data.js and find this line that begins with to do and replace the data with real data. So you'll comment out or remove the generate sample data for each loop. Remember that. We saw that earlier. It's like line number 12. And we will replace it with all this script. So I'm going to go ahead and copy the code. And then let's follow those instructions. So let's get to the data.js file. And what it wants us to do is comment these lines of code out. So what we'll do here is we'll do this, and then this, and then I'm just going to paste what I have on my clipboard here. All right, so let's talk about this before we actually attempt to do anything. There's this winjs.xhr. What is this? Well, obviously it has something to do with loading the recipes.txt file, but what is it really doing? So let's go ahead. I've already opened up this MSDN article. You should be able to find the link somewhere on the page that hosts this video. Here is the help for the winjs.xhr function. And it says that basically the winjs.xhr wraps calls to the XML HTTP request, XHR, in a promise. And then it goes on to say you can use this to in Windows Store apps built for Windows, using JavaScript for cross-domain requests and intranet requests if you set the capabilities of your app to allow these operations. All right, so that first sentence about promises, let's wait until I think it's the next lesson or the one after that. We'll talk about promises and how the WinJS library allows for asynchronous operations. Let me focus on the first part of that. What exactly is an HTTP request? Well, if you were to click on this and follow it through, it'll open up a web page talking about the XML HTTP request object in Internet Explorer. And it basically says that if we were to scroll down, yeah, here. With the XML HTTP request object, clients can retrieve and submit XML data directly to a web server without reloading the document. To convert XML data into renderable HTML content, you use client-side XML DOM or extensible style sheet language transformations to compose HTML document presentations. All right. So admittedly, we're not using XML here, and this is specific to XML, but we can retrieve any data from a source. Like a local or remote file, retrieving it in the background. So this is the foundation of AJAX. Have you ever heard that term? And if you're a web developer, I'm sure you're familiar with it. So if we were using AJAX in a web context, we would be using this XML HTTP request object. Here in Windows app development, we are using this WinJS XR function that kind of wraps those features and allows us to pull in any kind of data into our app. All right? Looking back at the code now, after we have said we want to pull our data from this URL in our data folder, the recipes.txt, then what we want to do, passing in an instance of that XML HTTP request into this function using this promise, and we'll talk about that later, then we want to parse through the actual response text, the values inside of this recipes.txt file, all right? So it uses this json.parse, and here again, I've gone ahead and opened up json.parse function in JavaScript. It basically takes the data retrieved from the winjs.xhr method and converts it into a set of items that can then be pushed, or rather appended, to the winjs.binding.list, like we talked about in one of the previous lessons, all right, which we do right here. So we get all the items that were added from the recipes.txt, and one by one, we begin to add them to our list, all right, just like we did here, except not using this generate sample data. All right, and that's all there is to it. We're able to use all the rest of the app except for the generate sample data method, which we can actually remove from this if we wanted to and just delete it. I'm going to leave it in there. All right, so let's go ahead and just now do like the instructions suggest and run the app. And how cool is this? We actually have what seems to be a working Contoso cookbook, complete with groups of recipe items divided up by their groupings, Chinese, French, German, Indian, and so on. Let's kind of investigate this a little bit more. What if we were to click on an individual item? Well, now we start to see a few problems here. We get the title of our recipe, but there are some other fields that just come back as undefined. But the good news is we do get the image. So what we'll probably want to do now is go in and tweak this particular web page to look for different properties. The subtitle property, obviously no longer there. The description property, obviously no longer there. How about the group itself? Let's click on the Chinese group. All right, so the group name is there. The subtitle isn't there. Okay, so we'd have to fix that. And it looks like we do get the image, and we do get these references to the individual items, but again, we're missing some data, or we're not pulling the right data from those items. All right, so wow, this was incredibly easy. By working with native JSON, we were able to wire up our app really easily. And if you watch the C# version of this series of lessons, this actually took a lot less effort because we're working with native JavaScript objects as the data source. So we have a working app. I suppose we could end the hands-on labs right here. However, our app is not really refined just yet. We need to be able to respond, for example, to orientation changes. If we were to work with the Surface or one of the other tablet devices by another vendor, and we were to switch it from landscape to portrait, we would want the orientation to change as well. We want to modify the layout of the app when the device is in snapped mode, like we demonstrated in the very first lesson in this video series. Furthermore, there are features to add to the app to more fully integrate it into the Windows 8 ecosystem on the user's computer. So we're going to do all that in the remainder of this series of lessons. But before we go, there are a few things about WinJS that we haven't looked at yet. In fact, I've gone out of my way to avoid them. So we need to look at how our app utilizes the async features that are available to JavaScript through WinJS in the next lesson. So we're going to talk about promises in the next lesson and the then keyword that we used right here. We'll see you there. Thank you. Mm-hmm.